Welcome to the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica Coulthard, your host. And each week I chat with amazing entrepreneurs to share what they've done to ignite their business so that you can ignite yours. Hey, it's Jessica, your host. What if I could tell you why you do everything you do? Would you believe me? Well, I think you should, because I have this incredible assessment that I do for my clients. And for all of my listeners, I'm offering it for free. If you want to send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com, I will hook you up. I will tell you why you do everything you do. I will tell you what your personal driving force, your North Star, the reason you do everything you do, why you make every decision you make. You're going to look back over your life and you'll be able to connect all sorts of dots that you didn't see before. It will blow your mind, I promise. I've been doing this assessment with my clients for the last 4 years. Wow, you nailed me. And the beautiful part is that it's not just about knowing this. It's about I actually will show you how to use it. I will show you how to use it to fix relationships. I'm also going to show you how to get rid of bad habits. We're going to dial this in so easily that this will be a no-brainer. You're going to be like, wow, why didn't I know this before? Why don't they teach this in schools? I'm going to show you how to change any area of your life by stepping back, taking the emotion out, throwing in a little logic, and you're going to be able to brainstorm ideas that you never even saw before. That is the power of this assessment. So send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com and I'll hook you up. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have with me Anne Livingston. She's an author, nomad, and spiritual mentor. Anne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and have this conversation with you.
Me too, because I love people that have like a really positive, upbeat energy. And I remember when we spoke last time that I really had a good feeling about you and I love your story. So Anne, please, can you tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Tell us your story. Hi, guys. So yes, my name is Anne Livingston. And my background is actually in education. I was a teacher for 7 years. I have my bachelor's in special ed, my master's in early childhood, and I taught primary education. And in 2013, when I was in Chicago, I ended up losing my teaching career. There were school closures. And because of my experience and my master's degree, I ended up not being able to get my job back. And so I became a nanny because I was like, what else do you do with a master's in early childhood, you know? And so while I was nannying, I had this realization that I never again wanted someone to tell me whether or not I had a job and how much money I could make. And so from there, I started to build a business on the side. I started to kind of embark on my own personal development journey. And through that, I had this realization of, you know, I have this background in education and I know that if I can make changes in my own life, I know how to teach other people how to do what I have done. And so I started going down the coaching path and I was like, that makes a lot of sense, you know? And so it evolved from health and wellness coaching because I was making personal transformations, you know, in my health. Then it evolved into spiritual mindset coaching. And then in 2017, right after the end of a relationship, I had this, it's an intuitive hit, but at the time I wasn't religious, spiritual at all. And so I was like, I don't know, it's like some sort of whisper that's like telling me to sell my shit and hit the road. And so I decided to follow that nudge, which it made no sense because I have two cats. I had no car. I didn't think that my business was sustainable enough for me to be traveling around because I had this desire to live in Airbnbs. And I don't know why, like I didn't know why I should say at that time. And I was like, I don't know why I need to follow this nudge. I just know that I do. And I knew that it was leading me to something bigger, but I had no clue. It was just like, I had no clue. It was really the first time that I had taken that massive of a leap of faith. And everyone in my life thought it was crazy. You know, they're like, you're going to die. You're not going to have enough money. Like, what are you doing? Why are you selling all your stuff? And I was like, I don't know. I just feel like I need to do it. And so in 2017, I left Chicago and I ventured out onto the road. I first went to Mississippi to visit a friend. Like most people don't say, I'm going to become a nomad. Let me go to small town Mississippi. But that was my first stop to visit.
Follow
a friend.
The nudge.
Right. I mean, that's how you know that it was intuitive, that I wasn't like, man, I'm dying to go to small town Mississippi. And I had this moment too. I was like, man, if you look at all the other like nomadic entrepreneurs, they get to go to like, you know, they're going to like Bali and Mexico and California, like these beautiful spots. I'm like, I get small town Mississippi, like, come on, God. So my intention was to be there for 3 weeks and I stayed for 8 months because I hit financial rock bottom. My business hit rock bottom. I had no clients coming in. I had no money. At one point I had practically no food. And it was one of the darkest moments, I would say, of my entrepreneurial journey. And I really learned so much that, you know, I want to talk about today, but I learned so much in that darkness of really understanding that when I was working with mentors during that time, it didn't matter what they were telling me to do. What they were telling me to do wasn't working for me. Like the traditional path was not working for me. And I'm the type of person where it's like, you tell me what to do. I'm a hard worker. Action wasn't my problem. Like you tell me what to do, I'll do it. And I'll probably outwork the majority of the people out there because I'm really passionate, you know, about what I do. And it wasn't working. I wasn't making money. Clients weren't coming in. And I started to get these glimpses in those moments that there was something within me that was guiding me to what I needed to do. I knew that I was going to write a book at one point. I tried to write the book and it felt really difficult. And so I knew that there was a timing piece, you know, that it wasn't my time yet to write the book. And then finally in April of 2018, I left Mississippi, thank God. and I traveled around for about 3 years at that point, solely based off of my intuition. And so what that looked like was I would feel this intuitive, like internal nudge. It was like this magnetic pull to a place within the United States. And I wasn't trusting myself at the time. So I also had an atlas and a pendulum. And I pulled out the atlas and the pendulum and I double checked where, like just to make sure. It was like, I already feel this intuitive nudge, but let me use these tools to double check so that I can cultivate this level of trust within myself. And so I would double check with the atlas and the pendulum. And then I would go to the Airbnb website. And then I would kind of pay attention to the energy I was feeling within the pictures. And God was definitely guiding me based off of how much money I did or didn't have in my bank account. And that's how I lived for 3 years.
Oh my goodness. I love when you said that you pulled out a map and your pendulum. Like that is so cool. I've just recently, well, I guess it's been almost 2 years now, I guess, started using a pendulum. And oh, nice. I love it. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about that. Sorry, because you've got my attention with it now.
That's
so,
all right.
Yeah. So like, was a pendulum something that you had been using previous to that? Was it also a nudge that you got while you were on your trip? Like, how did that come around?
I got the pendulum when I was in Chicago. So I had it with me when I was traveling. I was using it kind of on and off. But after Mississippi, I went to North Carolina. I didn't have the atlas and pendulum then. So when I went to North Carolina, I was going based off of where I felt internally drawn to. And I was kind of, you know, reading the energy and the pictures of the Airbnb listings. Well, then after North Carolina, I was there for, I guess, a few months, kind of in a few different places. And then I went back to the Midwest to visit family. And my dad was like, do you want an atlas? And I was like, who needs an atlas? We have Google Maps. Like, no, I don't need an atlas. You know, no, I don't need an atlas. Thanks, but no thanks. And then he asked me a couple more times, kind of like joking around. He's like, are you sure you don't need an atlas? And again, I heard that little whisper that was like, just take the damn atlas. I was like, all right, I'll take the atlas. So I was like, sure, I'll take it. I don't know what I'm going to do with this hell, you know, with this atlas, but like, I'll take it. And so I took it and I just like threw it in the back of my car. I was renting a car at that point because I still didn't have a car. So I was renting a car and I just threw it in the back of the car. And I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with this, but whatever. And then after that, I went back to Chicago to visit a friend for a few days to kind of recalibrate, you know, after visiting family, I need to recalibrate for a little bit. So I recalibrated and I love my family, but you know, family's family. So then from there, I got the nudge to go to New Mexico. And I think it was when I was with my friend And I got that nudge. I was like, let's just see if, you know, because I'm like, I didn't know. I was still very new to it all. So I pulled out the Atlas, pulled out the pendulum, and it was like, yes, New Mexico. And I was like, okay. So then I went, because, you know, New Mexico is also a large state, and I didn't really know where in New Mexico. So that was part of it too. It was like, when I would get the state, I would divide the state into quadrants, and then I would check the quadrants with the pendulum. So I knew where, and then I could go to the website and kind of, you know, hone in a little bit.
I love it. I love it. Like I said, I've just started using mine, and I'm using mine for dating.
Oh, I've totally done that. I've pulled out the dating app, right?
Yeah,
and I check pictures. Yeah. I'm like, okay, let's pull out the pendulum. Is it yes or no? Swipe.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I have a really amazing friend who's a spiritual healer, and she uses it a lot. And I've been learning through her as well. So yeah, I love it. Thank you for mentioning that, because I'd kind of forgotten about that side of things. And I love the pendulum for sure.
I do too. And the biggest thing I would say too, for those of you who use like these spiritual tools, whether it's a pendulum or, you know, tarot or oracle cards, because I use all of the above, but it's important to not become dependent on the tools. You know, they're really just kind of confirming what you already know. So on some level, because it's all within our subconscious. So on some level, we know, you know, kind of like when I could feel this magnetic pull in my body, if I had really just not had the external tools and just tapped into my energy, I would have known where to go, but I didn't have that level of trust. So I think sometimes we use these external tools as a way of kind of bridging that gap, but don't ever forget that the intuitive wisdom is actually within.
Absolutely. I think for me, I like it because it's visual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm a very visual person. And so tapping into my unconscious and then being able to visually get the answer, right, is like you say, it's like that extra gut check. It's like, this is how I'm feeling. Now let's just see what's really the feeling means, right? And it's so visual. Like, once you figure out what yes and no means, then it's easy to use it. So
yep.
Yeah, that's, I think, why I like it. Like you say, like, you already know, right? Like, when you talk about being pulled towards something. So I live in British Columbia, Canada. And off the coast, the West Coast here, we have this beautiful island mixed in with a bunch of little islands. And for the last couple of years, it's like, I'm going to the island. Like, I'm booking it, like, as fast as I can get out of here. And it's funny because I let so many things kind of get in my way. And I was listening to a mentor about 3 weeks ago. And he said, why do you feel like you need to, if you're at A and you want to be at B, why do you feel like you need to go like all these different things in between? Why don't you just go there? And all of a sudden it's like, now my mind is so set on, I just need to go there. Like, I kept thinking, right, there were so many things I needed to do first.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I need to listen and I need to just go.
Yep.
So another reason why I'm really excited to have you on this show, because I feel like it's almost that gut check for me, having you come on to speak about this is almost like a little sign to me. All right, Jess, come on. It's your turn.
I love it. I love being that voice for other people.
Yeah. And I mean, so long as the person's listening, guess what?
Yeah,
I'm listening.
Well, I fully believe that people, like, we cross paths with people on purpose. So I fully believe that we cross paths on purpose.
100%. I agree too. Okay. So now, talk a little bit more about, like, I was reaching out to your website to learn a little bit more about you, and I saw some of the work that you're doing, and I've been really interested in inner child and shadow work. I just don't know anything about it, and I keep hearing people talking about it. Is that something you could share with us?
Oh my God, I love this topic. I like get so excited because the inner child shadow work is what literally transformed my entire life. So I was someone, and I wrote about this in my book, Radical Rebirth. It's the first book of a 3-book series, but I was at the very beginning of my spiritual awakening, you know, in a relationship, but that relationship was ending. All my patterns were kind of just blowing up in my face. And I had the level of awareness that all of these patterns that were blowing up were old self-sabotage patterns. And I was like, all right, Anne, like, I had like a come to Jesus moment where I was like, okay, if you don't want to keep experiencing the same shit over and over and over again, you got to look at these patterns. And so specifically in dating, I was like, all right, I refuse to date or get into another relationship until I really look at what's going on. But I didn't know how to do it. And so I spent a lot of time meditating. I spent a lot of time just like sitting on my meditation pillow, crying. Ultimately, that's where I began. I was just sitting down and crying. And I started to, I was following Gabby Bernstein at the time. And she had an inner child, I think it was an inner child meditation. I think it was Gabby Bernstein. I couldn't even direct you to it if I wanted to, but I believe that that's what it was. And I had this meditation where I envisioned myself as an adult and myself as a child. And I think I was around 7 years old. And I had this vision of me as an adult embracing myself as a child. And it was so powerful. And I started crying and I felt something shift within me. And I started to pull out my journal and journal to myself. And I started to basically tap into this little girl within me that didn't feel heard, didn't feel seen, didn't feel valuable. And I just started to listen to what she had to say. And, you know, I was beginning to cultivate a relationship with God, but I didn't have any awareness of what that was going to be like. And I started to learn what she was telling me was that she was terrified of me having a relationship with God because she felt she was going to be abandoned. And so I was like, God, that's really powerful. And so I started looking at all of my old abandonment wounds. And then fast forward, I guess about a year later, once I was already on the road and I was in California and I had been doing some of the shadow work of, you know, just really listening to her, feeling the feelings, really the feeling of the feelings was really huge for me because I had been numbing for so long. I was numbing through food. I was numbing through alcohol. I was numbing through social media, binge watching Netflix, relationships, like you name it. I learned how to numb through it. And, cause I was avoiding the pain that was within me. And so then in 2018, I was chatting with a friend. We had been talking about the ego. It's all the same: ego, shadow work, subconscious, inner child. It's just different names, same thing. And she was like, "Anne, I really think you need to go back in and like really talk to your, you know, to your ego, to your inner child." And I was like, "All right." So I started pulling out my journal every single day, and I just journaled out the question: "What do you need me to know? Like, what do you need me to know? What do you want to tell me?" And this voice within me, this little girl within me, started to tell me all of her pain, all of her sadness, all of the ways she didn't feel good enough, all the ways that I put her on the back burner when a man would come into my life, all the reasons she didn't want me to be successful. Like, it was like she held the secrets to everything that was going wrong in my life.
Wow.
And it was so powerful because all I needed to do was to listen to her and to honor her. And so it's been this journey for a couple of years now. And I would say that she's fully integrated, but on a larger level, this is also very connected to the masculine feminine energies that we all have. We all have both, but we're typically either core masculine or core feminine, but the inner child is really the feminine. And then, so you have like the logical mind, you know, the logical brain, which is the masculine, and then the emotional, which is the feminine. And I learned over the years how to hold space for myself. So the space holding is masculine. And so I learned how to hold space for myself. I learned how to, basically nothing, I didn't make anything wrong. So when my ego, when my inner child comes through this deep emotion of rage, anger, sadness, frustration, anxiety, fear, whatever it may be, all those scary emotions that we don't want to feel, I learned how to sit with them. And so I tell her now, like, it's an energetic thing I can feel now. So I'm like, you get to say anything you want to say to me. You get to feel anything you want to feel. You get to be whoever you are within me. You just can't self-harm and you can't harm anyone else. Like, you can't lash out at anyone else. Cause that was a behavior of mine. I was angry. I was rageful. And so I would lash out at people. And so she gets to have whatever experience of life she wants to have within me, and I will hold space for her, but she doesn't get to act that way out towards other people. And through that, she has learned she doesn't need to be enraged all the time. She doesn't need to be angry all the time. She has love and compassion. It was just like, it, like I said, it completely transformed me because I learned how to be a healthy masculine. I know what healthy masculine feels like because I ultimately became my own man. And so now out in the dating world, I know within about 0.2 seconds whether a man is able to hold space for me or not, because I know how to do it for myself. It's how I learned unconditional love. It's how I learned self-acceptance. Like it has been magical.
Yeah. I'm listening to you thinking I need to do this. And yeah. I really align with a very masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And me like too. Very logical, very independent, very just strong-willed, and not so on the emotional side of things. Yep. And it's funny over the last couple, and I've done some work through my coaching, and I recognize that growing up, my dad wanted boys. And so he had two girls. And as the oldest daughter, I think I wanted to be his boy for him. Mm-hmm. And I kind of adopted a very masculine, independent energy. And I'm realizing the last couple of years how much I'm missing the feminine side. I need more of it. And I've been trying to find ways and people that can help me bring that out. But it's when it's new, when you've held it back for so long, you don't know how. Yep. And so what you're talking about, by being able to, you know, just sit with yourself and your own inner child and listen, I think that's probably what I need to do more than trying to find it outside of me.
Yep. And that's always where I guide my clients. You know, I'm like, just start there, because I am a firm believer that we all have our own answers within us, right? So like when I work with people, when I mentor people, it's not that I have all the answers. I have tools. I have tools I give clients, but I don't have the answers. So I continuously guide people back to themselves. And then once they have the answer, then they come back to me and then we talk it out. But like, I don't know. I don't know what the answers are, because my clients know themselves better than anyone else, you know? And I think that there are a lot of coaches out there, and I don't really consider myself a coach. I'm really a mentor. Like that's really how I see myself. But I think that there are a lot of coaches out there that have this process or this duplication. And it's like, I don't know, maybe it works for some people. It never worked for me because the thing is, like, no one was guiding me to do this really deep internal work. And until I did that, nothing else worked in my life.
Right. And I think, you know, once you tapped into that intuition and you began to follow it, then you probably knew that what was coming towards you from these other coaches wasn't right for you, right? And I think that's important too, is to be able to recognize what is right for you. And we're all so different that we really need to feel that out. We need to be comfortable in our own voice to say, that's not going to work for me, and believe it.
Yep. And I'm very much like you in the fact I'm very masculine. I'm core feminine, but I've been very masculine my entire life. And I was hiring a lot of coaches that were masculine coaches. They weren't men, but they were masculine coaches. And so I was like, I actually don't need my masculine to be enhanced. Like, right? I really need my feminine to be enhanced. So like, but no one was talking to me about it. Cause I think a lot of people, like, I feel like on some level, this like really truly understanding the masculine and the feminine and how they are integrated and how they show up in business. Like, I think that we're still learning all of this. So I don't blame anyone for not knowing things, you know, and this is how we learn what's authentic to us. This is how we learn our own path, our own calling. Like, I'm a firm believer that we are meant to help other people with what we have deeply struggled with, you know? And so it's like, I wouldn't know how to help people with this type of stuff if I hadn't gone through it myself. So it's all on purpose.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the themes, one of the things that I'm starting to notice, like the more people that I talk to that do have their own business. And that's why I love to share people's birth stories, because that's where that inspiration can come from. And people can kind of align and say, oh, I feel that. And that, you know, but everybody that I've spoken to has in one way or another become the help that they could have used.
Love that you said that. That's exactly like, I've used that word. I'm like, I became the mentor I deeply desired.
Yeah. And myself too, right? Like, and that's why when I think I'm supposed to go a different way with my business, I feel so much resistance, because that's not what I've been through. That's not where I feel aligned. I'm always go back to kind of my core issue that I started trying to fix, which led me to coaching.
Yep. Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah. Awesome. And you know, the beauty of that is that, yeah, we are now the freaking expert because we've done it.
Yes. Yes. I know. When you're like, tell me about shadow work, I'm like, oh my God, how much time do we have?
So, okay. So inner child and shadow work, what's the difference, or are they the same just with different names? Like,
it's the same different names. So, you know, people talk about like ego work, shadow work, inner child work, subconscious. And you know, I think you'll like this. So a lot of us, I think, you know, we hear about like reprogramming the subconscious, right? So like for a long time, I was like going onto YouTube and doing like these little, like, you know, hypnotherapy videos or, you know, the subliminal affirmations and all that. I was like, I'm going to reprogram my subconscious. Well, when I sat down with the journal and I was like, what do you want me to know? At one point she said to me, stop trying to reprogram me. I can reprogram my mind faster than you can. I was like, oh, thank you.
Note made.
Yes. Yes. I was like, got it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cause she was like, I'm not a computer. You know, like I have, and it was just like, I have feelings, please listen to me. And I tell my clients all the time, when it comes to learning how to speak your truth and use your voice, you won't be able to confidently speak your truth to other people until you first speak your truth to yourself. So I had to learn how to listen to myself, first of all, right? Listening to this inner child and learning, like, what is true for me? What does she want? What are her needs? What are her desires? Maybe I'm setting these goals and she's like, I don't actually want that. You know, you can't like outrun your subconscious. Your subconscious is that program, for lack of better terms, running in the back of your life. So if you don't have any awareness of what's going on, then you're like, what the hell? Why is my life not shifting? And so you keep trying to take all this action, but the action can't bypass the subconscious.
Right. And there's a sense of congruency too, right? Like you're saying, you know, that's not what I want. Your inner child is telling you, like, that's not what I want. I can do this for myself. Just listen to me. And it's like, we're trying to fight against ourselves. And that's why we don't get the movement that we want.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
So another thing that I saw in your website is intuitive marketing. That I would love to hear your take on.
Yeah. So like I work with a variety of clients because I've done a lot of different things in my life, but like I have one client right now who is an author and he's working on a book and he doesn't really know anything about social media, you know? And so I fully believe that duplication does not work, you know, that we all have kind of our own thing we're supposed to be doing. And specifically when it comes to book writing, I believe that a book has a soul of its own. So I believe that a book has a way that it wants to be expressed out into the world. There's a story behind it. How does the story want to be shared? And so I am, you know, I'm intuitive. I'm an empath. I am a channel. So I receive messages. And so when I work with clients specifically on marketing, I'm able to kind of tap into the soul of their project to receive different messages as far as, you know, potential opportunities of how to market themselves. But again, I don't have the answers, right? I just kind of like throw things out there and see how they feel with them. And then we kind of go from there. But I help people kind of tap into the, like I said, tap into the soul of what they're creating. And then how does that then become expressed out into the world? Because I don't believe that marketing is done one way. Nothing is done one way, you know?
Yeah, no, I love that. And that's part of my problem too, is like, I am not a good marketer. And I think a lot of it is because I'm trying to fit into this mold, right? This is how you do it. This is the steps. This is what you do. And none of it's feeling good to me. So, you know, I'm trying to do it my way. And I don't know, I'm not sure that that's necessarily working either, because I think I just haven't, I just don't think I've sat down and really listened, right? Like, I feel like I have a unique message. And I feel like that not everybody's ready to hear it. And I haven't quite figured out how to get that out there. And so I like this intuitive marketing. Like, I feel like I need to really, just from talking to you, it's like, I really need to sit. I need to stop doing. And I need to kind of just go in and listen for a while.
It's not going to resonate with, you're not meant to resonate with everyone. You know, I once had a mentor say to me, and this is one of the most helpful pieces of advice I've ever gotten, was she was like, we're all like these lighthouses and each lighthouse has a different color. And you need to be the brightest color that you are so that all the boats that are looking for that specific color can find you. And I was like, oh, that's just, you know, it's so true. It's so necessary. And it's so scary because most of us have this fear of being seen. So if you're afraid of being seen, then you're not going to be as bright and big and bold and as authentic as you really need to be in order to call in the souls who are truly meant to work with you. And I have a lot of unpopular opinions and beliefs and perspectives, but it's how I see the world. And mm-hmm. And it, for me, it's like I see the world in a very unique way, as we all do, but like because of the life that I have chosen to live, becoming an intuitive nomad changed how I interact with the world, period. And so I don't fit in to like the majority of society, you know? But the thing is, like, what I've learned is that people really love being in my energy because I like give them permission. By me being who I am, I give them permission to be who they are. And that's all anyone ultimately wants anyway, is they just want permission to be who they are. And I work with so many people that are like, yeah, and niches don't work for me, and avatars don't work for me, and labels don't work for me, and boxes don't work for me. I'm like, I know, because they don't work for me either. So like, if you follow me for a little while, you'll see I talk about all kinds of things. It's like, I don't show up and talk about the same thing over and over and over again. Like, yes, I do talk about inner child work. Yes, I have brought in politics into the game. Yes, I have brought in spirituality. I'm now talking about like my twin flame journey. But the way that I see it, the way that I see my business, and I really believe this for everyone, I guess, depending on what you do, but if you resonate with my message, then I believe this will resonate with you. I'm like the pillar of my business, right? Everything. Like if you go back to those like mind maps that we did in school, right, where you have like the bubble in the middle and then everything is stemming from that bubble. Well, you're that inner bubble. And then you have all of these different, you know, interests and experiences and perspectives and stories and whatever. And I think that a lot of times in business, we're taught like, choose one niche, choose one avatar, choose one topic. And it's like, A, I'll get bored if I choose one thing, because I don't want to talk about one thing for the rest of my life. I'm multidimensional, you know? And I do reach a variety of people because I talk about a lot of things, but I also think that it keeps people's interest because they're like, what is she going to talk about next? Who knows? But it's like, you know, like one of my slogans is live your life and write about it. I feel like honestly, my only job is to live my life, write about it, speak about it, however I want to express it, and then help mentor those to live their most authentic life.
Sounds amazing. I think that's, I love the idea of like, yeah, mind mapping and being that pillar. Mm-hmm. And I've seen somebody, I can't remember who it was talking about, you know, you have to have all these different interests and parts of yourself, because that's even, you know, even not just on a business level, but even on a personal level, because that's what draws people into you anyways,
yep.
Right? Is when you stand for something that pulls in a certain type of person. When you stand against something, that pulls in another different type of person, but yet it's still all aspects of you.
Yep.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
And I love I really love the metaphor of the lighthouse. Again, I'm very visual.
I am too.
When you painted that picture, it was just, oh, like that I can see. That makes sense to me. That works for my way of processing information. So fabulous. So tell us about your book, Radical Rebirth.
Yes, The Radical Rebirth, like I said, it's the first book of a 3-book series. And it's really, so the book really goes into, you see, when I'm getting ready to, or I talk about the fact that, you know, I was a teacher and all of that. I was actually married at the time too. So I was in a verbally and emotionally abusive marriage. I had pretty much no self-worth. But I also had this little glimpse of there has to be something more. Like, is this the best life has to offer? God, I hope not. And so I ended up leaving the marriage, got divorced, moved into my own place, entered into another relationship, which I now know is my twin flame. So that's a whole journey that I'm going on now. But it was a relationship that kind of like flips my world upside down in the best way possible. And what ended up happening was every pattern that I didn't want to look at was getting reflected back to me. And I had no awareness of what was going on at the moment. And when that relationship ended, it was really detrimental because it was like the one thing that I wanted more than anything in this world. And it was the first time that I really took full responsibility for the ending of a relationship. Typically I was the victim. I was the one blaming other people. And so I really began to walk into my dark night of the soul. I walked into the beginning of my spiritual awakening, and I had a moment sitting on my meditation pillow where I realized that no one was talking about what I was experiencing. And I was reading other spiritual books. I was listening to podcasts. I was watching YouTube videos. I'm a bit of an information hoarder. So I was like trying to get as much information as possible. And I still kept feeling there was something wrong with me, that I was doing it wrong. And I was just like, you know what, if no one else is going to talk about what I'm experiencing, then I'll be the one to do it. I set the intention in 2017 to be the most authentic version of myself, which that also turned my world upside down. Like, you think, like, when you set an intention like that, you're like, I'm just going to wake up and I'm just going to be myself. And it's like, no, life will give you opportunities to unpack all kinds of things that aren't you.
Well, and I believe in being tested, right? Like, I think those are moments that actually help us. When you say, I'm going to do this, and then something, someone comes along and tests you, that just helps you, like, dig your heels in harder. I like those moments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was, it was just, you know, one thing after another. And so but you see within that relationship, you know, we talked about the ego shadow, inner child, and you see how my ego was completely taking over. I was severely codependent. I was jealous. I was snooping through my ex's email. Like, I show all of the shit that we've all done on some level, but no one wants to talk about, 'cause there's a lot of shame there. And I showed it all because we have so much similarity in how we experience life. But again, no one really talks about it. And so I wanted to be that person to really show what healing truly looks like within your four walls, to know that you're not alone.
Beautiful. So are you talking about the twin flame relationship now?
Yeah. So I don't really go into my marriage a whole lot, because that just feels like a whole different lifetime. But my twin flame relationship was really life-changing. And it's, you know, if you guys follow me on social media, I'm sharing a bit more about that, because there are things that are developing. I just don't know exactly where they're leading, but I'm kind of like in it right now. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it was really eye-opening.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like I have had a twin flame relationship, and we're definitely in the pulled apart stage right now.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't know, but there's this draw to this person that I feel like nobody else can really fill the space for.
Yep.
Even though right now is just so not, it's just not the right time for either of us to be together, mm-hmm. but there's just this pull. It's crazy. And it's funny because those moments when we have been together, twin flame, like we've looked it up, we've researched it, and we just look at each other and we're like, yeah, that's what's going on here. And it's scary. It's kind of scary.
It's really powerful, because most people don't actually understand what you and I are talking about. I believe it's overused in the spiritual community. I think a lot of people talk about twin flame dynamics that aren't actually twin flame dynamics, but it's like, when you experience it, you know, when you're experiencing it, it flips your world upside down. But like you said, there's this level of, it just, you fit. I was sharing with a friend last night, actually. I said, you know, when you do a puzzle, for instance, and there's a puzzle piece that like almost fits, but you have that tiny little gap. It could be even the tiniest of tiny gaps, right? You're like, it almost fits, but it just doesn't. Like, that's how it's felt with every single man since my twin. Yes. But with him, it's like, it just fits perfectly. It just does, you know, and it's not that we're 100% alike, or that, you know, I think that I've probably done a lot more of my evolution than he has. And we're also like, we're not in communication right now, but I can energetically feel him, and the power of the inner child work, the shadow work, the balancing and harmonizing of your masculine and feminine, is that when you balance and harmonize that within yourself, it literally affects your twin on an energetic level. So the internal work that you do, is so vital for that. It's like you have to experience that union within yourself before you can experience that external union with your twin. And so is what's been interesting for me in this current experience of life is that, you know, like I said, we're not in communication. I haven't talked to him in years, but just by having done the work that I've done on myself and now reconnecting with him on an energetic level, I feel whole and complete. And it's not because he completes me. I don't believe that another human being completes us. That's our job. But it's a level of unification and completeness that I have never experienced before. And it's, right. And it has nothing to do in the external, you know, like I have no affirmation that anything is happening externally, but I'm just like, nope, I just know it's just done. It's just energetically done.
Yeah, I agree. And I totally get it. Cause I felt it. So a few years back, I, was invited to jump on stage and share about vulnerability. And he was what I spoke about because I believed that up until that moment that I had never truly allowed myself to be loved mm-hmm. and love. And even though I knew in the back of my mind that it probably wasn't going to last, it was going to end badly. There was this feeling that this was the person that I was supposed to allow myself to be vulnerable with and give myself to. And open my heart up to fully. And I did. And even though it hurts like hell, mm-hmm. I still feel like that was what I was supposed to do. That was the person that I was supposed to have all of this overwhelming feelings with.
I love that you had that experience because that was a huge loss in my relationship. Vulnerability, or it was really the lack of vulnerability. That was where a lot of my anger and rage came from because I was learning how to protect myself. I couldn't be vulnerable. And so it started a lot of fights. And after we broke up, but when I knew that I was going to be leaving Chicago, and this is all in the book, but when I was going to leave Chicago, we actually reunited for like a month, my final month in Chicago. And I allowed myself to just open up to him and to just love him without needing anything from him in return. I knew he loved me. He didn't have to say it, but it was just like, I just wanted to practice loving him, period. Yes. And, cause I had never allowed myself to do that. So it was like, I had taken all of the work that I had done, you know, the months leading up to that, knowing that I had no clue whether or not we would ever be in contact ever again. I knew I was leaving Chicago and that was all I knew. I didn't know where my journey was leading me. And it was so beautiful. And there's a letter that I wrote, and again, it's in the book, and I still cry every single time I read it because it's probably the most vulnerable thing I've ever shared with him until now. I'm creating some stuff for him, but yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful journey, and it's sacred. It's such a mm-hmm. sacred journey, you know?
And it's hard to explain to somebody who hasn't been there.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. I didn't expect to go there, but
me either.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me. Because you know what? Because every time I think about it, like, I don't have any regrets. I don't have any anger. There's nothing. Like, our breaking up was not about that, yeah. You know? And I have a whole playlist of, I call it Missing Him. And it isn't about being sad. It's about still feeling connected somehow.
Yep.
So yeah. Interesting.
I have a playlist too. you're a visual person. I'm a visual person. And I also yep. experience and express through music. It's like it's my unofficial love language.
Right. Oh yeah. Me too. I mean, I feel through music. It's almost like how I heal is I create these playlists for somebody so that I can just feel that connection. It brings me back and it allows me to almost go and re-experience what mm-hmm. is no longer there. So
I agree.
Wonderful. Okay. So, okay. How can people find you? Where can they reach out to you to work with you?
So my website, annlivingstoncoaching.com. I'm also available on social media at Ann the Nomad. And yeah, I mean, all of my stuff is on my website though.
Wonderful. Okay, great. I will put all those links in the show notes for people so they can go and find you.
Perfect.
Okay. So now before I let you go, if you were to give somebody one piece of advice so that they could take their business to the next level, what would you suggest?
I would suggest starting with yourself. So like we talked earlier about learning how to sit with yourself, but where I begin all of my clients is with a mind, body, soul self-care routine. So, you know, with the body, working out, moving your body in some capacity every single day, nourishing your body, taking excellent care of your body, the mind, meditating, filling your mind with positive things, whether it's books, podcasts, you know, whatnot. And then the soul piece, which I think is probably one of the most powerful pieces, is create a list of things that you enjoy doing that don't require money or other people. And start incorporating those things every single day. It's also how you're going to connect with your inner child. And through that, you're like, through incorporating all three of those things on a daily basis, you will start to tap into your intuition. You'll start to get those nudges. You'll start to kind of feel those things and just practice trusting that. And again, like when you're looking for a mentor, just really be mindful of people who, you know, appear to have all the answers, or if you find yourself constantly trying to seek outside of yourself, like every time you think you're, or you go to seek outside of yourself, pause, go back within, sit with yourself and see what's there.
Wonderful. Yeah. You know, I've started a gratitude journal just recently. I've been reading The Magic and I'm really enjoying that. Just the habit of thinking about the gratitude and thinking back about my day, but I haven't done any of that inner child work. And I had a lady, her name is Val Jones. She's actually been on my show and I did like a teeny tiny little, it was like she did a live Facebook video and I followed along and it was about speaking to my inner child, but I didn't take it any further than that. Mm-hmm. But after speaking with you and hearing about how powerful that can be, I think that's another thing I personally need to incorporate into my routine, my daily routine, is to really sit and listen. And so thank you so much for bringing that into my awareness and showing me how powerful it can be, because I really feel like that's the next journey that I need to go on. So thank you.
Absolutely. And especially since you're a twin and you understand that dynamic, it's going to be really powerful for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely.
This was wonderful. I had no idea we were going to go where we went with this, but thank you so much for going with me.
Absolutely. I'm so glad. This is why we can't plan anything, because it's just like wherever we want to be led is where we're led.
Yeah, absolutely. Ah, wonderful. Well, thanks again for spending your Sunday morning with me. I really appreciate it and really, really enjoyed speaking with you. So thank you.
Agreed. Thank you so much.
And that's another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs.